Our scripture lessons this morning begin with the prophet Zephaniah, and then we will turn to Paul's second letter to Timothy, and then to one of Jesus' parables in the Gospel of Luke. Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She obeys no one. She accepts no corrections. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. Her officials are roaring lions. Her rulers are evening wolves who leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are arrogant. They are treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary and do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning he dispenses his justice, and every new day he does not fail. Yet the unrighteous know no shame. I have cut off nations, their strength and strongholds are demolished. I have left their streets deserted, with no one passing through. Their cities are destroyed. No one will be left, no one at all. I said to the city, surely you will fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling would not be cut off, nor any of my punishments come upon her. But they are still eager to act corruptly in all they did. Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day I will stand up to testify. I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath on them, all my fierce power. The whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. Then will I purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. And then at the end of his life and ministry, Paul wrote this to Timothy. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I had kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me away from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may have thought that children's sermon was for the children, and it was, but it was also a little bit of a prelude to our thinking together about God's physics, how God works. One of the ways that we try to grasp what's going on in our world is to study things and look at them and figure them out. We study this and that for long and short periods of time. We come to hope in some kind of understanding about how everything works. We had a good lesson in physics in Hackensack recently with the collapse. Believe me, the firefighters were most interested in physics when they were shoring up that building trying to find out if anyone was hurt. Well, they shored it up and no one was hurt. But there was lots of physics going on. The more we learn about one thing spills over into other things. We begin to interpret life by putting it all together and figuring it out. The rear view mirror in your car was first used at the Indianapolis 500 because one of the racers wanted to know who was behind him. Teflon came from the space program. You see, these things that we learn, they all come together. Come together in a combination, and then we can understand life better and make it work better for us. Now, one of the ways that we understand our world is through the study of physics. And everybody knows about physics, and don't say, oh no, I don't know anything about physics. I didn't take that class in high school and college. Math was too much for me. No thanks, no physics. Well, If you've walked up a flight of stairs or turned a doorknob, you know physics. You've at least used physics. One of the principles of physics is for every action there is an equal and opposite or corresponding reaction. One of the laws of physics. Whether you know it or not, you've used it. The people who designed and built the first jet engine knew it well. And if you're any good at pool, you understand physics very well. That's how our world works. And we learn that either through study or experience, and probably both. Now, does that spill over into our knowledge and our understanding of God? Can we understand how He deals with us? Are there some kind of predictable principles like action, reaction with God and so for us? Do we always have to react in equal and opposite ways to the actions of other people? Is that the way God reacts to us? Should we respond that way to others? Are there decisions and reactions that are always prescribed or pre-written, determined by what happens to us first? Or is there a counteraction by which God is in control and we can be in control of our own actions and responses? In other words, when evil is done to us, do we have to do evil back? And you may say, well, of course not. Christians don't act that way. We know better. But before you talk about what we know, let's just remember the conventional wisdom and the folk philosophy and the culture and society we have. And what kind of physics is that? Fight fire with fire. Well, that's action-reaction. Equal justice under the law. Action-reaction. Fair is fair, right's right. Same thing. And before you dismiss that and say, well, that's not religious, that's not us, you just think about the emotional feelings that come to your mind and how it's action-reaction when you hear words like terrorism, kidnapping, bombing, schoolyard massacre. And we all want to react to that action. Now listen carefully now to what the prophet Zephaniah says, because we believe this is the word of God. We believe it was true in the prophet's day. We believe it's true in our day. We believe the nature and activity of God is revealed in the scriptures, and the promises made are made to be fulfilled. And here we read that God does not only react in set ways to evil. He does react. Verses 1 through 4 show God's response to evil. God sees it for what it is, calls it what it is. And those words include rebellious, defiled, no trust, corrupt officials, greedy judges, false prophets, and profane priests. That kind of sounds like just an action-reaction. But then there is the counteraction rather than the reaction in verse 5. The Lord within is righteous and dependable as the sunrise in His justice. And then he goes on and it talks about God's just response to evil and His expected results. Surely she will fear me, that city, Israel, and she will accept correction and she will not lose sight of all that I've enjoined upon her. But then we read, all the more were they eager to make their deeds corrupt. And then God reacts. He says He'd be the witness Himself before His own justice, and we hear words of indignation and heat and fire. All the earth shall be consumed. And that's action and reaction. We're used to that, and it's kind of expected. But immediately following that, we see God's counteraction. He says, I will offer redemption. I will change the speech of the people to a pure speech. And so after being just, God says he is also a redeeming God. And he invites their response that all may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. There we're starting to see the physics of God. Not Newton's physics, action-reaction, but God's physics, action-counteraction. And maybe that's the way he works. If it is, we better find out about it. Zephaniah the prophet warned his nation about the coming invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. It was coming, it was the justice of God, and the justice of God happened. But the prophet is also promising a future salvation for the remnant of Judah, the whole of Israel, the Israel of God, which we Christians believe now includes the church. And we believe that it happened and that it continues to happen in his name, throughout his people, always. Because that's the way God deals with us. Action, counteraction. Is that so? Look what Paul says to Timothy at the very end of his life. He was going to die, and he knew it. He was going to be murdered. But he uses words like libation, or offering to God, indicating that his sacrifice, his martyrdom, wasn't a waste. It was an offering. And so he talks about his death, but he uses words like departure and release. Well, if you know Paul, you know that he wasn't afraid to face what was really going on. He was just saying things that had extra meaning. Those words, departure and release, are the same words that were used when a ship was loosed from its moorings to sail off to its destination. It was the same word that was used when a soldier was finished with the mission, folded his tent, and went out. That's how Paul saw what was happening. It says he fought the good fight, kept the faith. Keeping the faith is using the same words that an athlete used to pledge that he would play by the rules, by God's rules. And so, henceforth, he says, from this time now on and forever, there is a crown of righteousness that the judge of all righteousness, the Lord, would award him. Now, that wasn't because Paul was such a good guy. Paul had a real temper. Could have kind of a sharp tongue. The crown was given in recognition of the reward that came from faith in the grace of God. Nothing less and nothing more. And all of that is in the response to the fact that Paul is going to be killed for his faith. Not a reaction. A counteraction. He's going to die a martyr's death. That's not equal and opposite reaction to death. That's the worst that evil can do. But it is the counteraction of what God is going to do because of it. And that's the way God works. Paul gives us a little personal history. He said, you know, the first time I made my defense and wasn't thrown to the lions, I escaped the lion's mouth. All his friends deserted him and he stood there alone, but he still made a good testimony to his faith. Talked about why he was being persecuted. He says he knows he will eventually be martyred, but he will be martyred for God's heavenly kingdom. And he says, to him be glory forever and ever. The counteraction on the part of Paul, made possible by the salvation of God, promised by the prophet Zephaniah, and produced through Jesus Christ, is what today we're calling the physics of God. It's how he works. And that's how he chooses to work. So what about us? Do we use the same kind of physics? How do we do that? How do we reflect upon our understanding of God's ways over against our own ways? Well, to be sure we have it right, it's always wise to turn to one of Jesus' parables. This one is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. You know it. Now, Jesus was comparing the two, and he was not justifying the tax collector's way of life. Tax collectors in Jesus' time were cheats and turncoats. They were Jews who went to work for the Romans. They bought a contract which said, you can collect taxes. You can collect as much as you can. We'll send the soldiers to enforce it. Get what you can. Pay us this much and you keep the difference. I have to wonder if that's the way it worked. No, it doesn't work that way. I don't think it does. But in Jesus' day, tax collectors were turncoats and cheats. Jesus knew that. It was sin and he hated it enough to die on a cross to counteract it. Jesus did not condemn the Pharisees' charities. He too cared for others in specific ways, feeding the hungry, healing the sick. But what the Pharisee did in his charitable work was just a reaction and nothing more. And he felt quite smug about it. But the tax collector, he was counteracting, this tax collector was counteracting his evil and sin with repentance. And to repent means to turn around, go off in a new direction. It doesn't mean just say, oh, I'm sorry. It means to change. And so he was defeating evil with God's help. And we read in this parable that the turncoat tax collector, as Jesus said, went to his house justified, forgiven. So what does that say about our response to evil? Are we controlled by it so that we can only respond in kind? Or do we counteract it? And so break the cycle. For example, little Johnny comes home from kindergarten and comes out with a word that you never use in your house. What do? Swear at him?
No.
Yeah, of course not. That would be action, reaction. Someone cheats us. Does that mean we get to cheat someone else and call it even?
No.
That's kind of chain letter mentality. Just in case you don't know it and get tempted to answer on those chain letters, they're against the law. Or think about gossip. You know, somebody's assassinating somebody else's character, and we have the choice to add our little tidbit or to just say nothing or something positive and so counteract it. Or we hear somebody's in need, and we say, you know, somebody ought to do something about it, which really means somebody else. That's just an action-reaction, or we can counteract it by doing it ourselves. How about when we agree with, you know, someone's all worked up about something and we say, oh, yeah, that's right, that's true, I agree with that. Or maybe we need to say, I'm not sure that's all there is to this story. Let's think about that a little bit. How do we not just keep the anger going? How do we do something positive about it? Let me give you an example. This is a tough example. Abortion. Abortion is not a black and white issue. Not at all. We might like to think so. But it's not. It involves real people. And there are real Christians on both sides of that issue. Like to find a real simple, direct, easy answer. Same is true for AIDS, poverty, government corruption, political unrest, depression. You know, if there was a real easy answer to evil, then surely Jesus Christ would not have had to have been crucified to counteract it. We dare not exhibit a simple, minded pride that says we have an easy answer with no suffering involved and still call ourselves followers of Jesus. Because that's not the way he works. And that's not the way God works. Newton's physics are fine to explain our physical world, where every action has an equal and opposite or corresponding reaction. God's physics helps us to understand him and ourselves, whereby we not only react to evil, we counteract it. Big difference. And when we do that, we know we are doing the will of God. May God grant us the wisdom and the power. Amen.
Amen.